all of you, Brother W.A., Lisa, Miss Kathy, and thank you so much. Music is beautiful. Just sets off the service. Thank you. Turn your Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 24. Luke 24, verse 1. And then at the very end, I'll flip. You don't have to, but I will flip over to just a few more verses. If you'll stand when you get that, please. As Luke recounts the story of the resurrection, it says, "Now, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, the two men stood by them in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.' And they remembered his words, and they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen clothes lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened." Acts 1:9 starts and tells us this. "Now when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up into a cloud, and they received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood beside them in white apparel, who also said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him going into heaven.'" Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for what you've done for us. And I pray today that you'll accept our worship and our gratitude and our acknowledgement, Lord, as we serve and worship you here today. Just please be with me and help me just be your messenger. And I can relay the words to open hearts and ears that want to hear and that seek you. Father, help us take this to the world, your sacrifice and what it means. It's in Christ Jesus' name. I told them this morning in the service that our focus was going to be on the resurrection and what does it mean to you. I asked Dennis and Jason, even shared with us, what does the resurrection mean to you individually, to your salvation and to your life? For as a Christian, that's what it is. It is life. So contemplate that. Think about that. Individually, what does the resurrection of Christ mean to you? We can say it as a body, but what does it mean to you individually? As has been the case kind of lately, I don't know why, but when I'm preparing messages sometime through the week, and I only had one to prepare this week, because we're not having service tonight, or a couple, but anyway. But I had a little time as I was getting through with it. As often is the case, I start thinking about it, and I think about the message all through the week. When I'm sitting, when I'm driving down the road with Susan, because I'm quiet, and she'll say, "What are you doing? Well, you're doing your sermon." I said, "Yeah." I'm thinking about it. I'm formulating it. And that's what we're supposed to do. And it's happened lately, the Lord kind of gives me a summary. And I've started going back into the office, sitting back down on the computer, and kind of just typing out what my summary is. It's personal, really, to me. What has it meant to me? That's what we should do. I want to relay it to you, but what has it meant to me? So I thought I did that this week. I thought I'd just, it may be scary, but I thought I might let you hear my thoughts just on one page here of what the sermon and going through this meant. The cross, the tomb, the resurrection can seem overwhelming for the human mind to try and comprehend. We fully cannot understand all that God has done in order that we might have eternity with Him. Not as servants, although we will have a subservient heart, but as His children. It can be said that the cross brings salvation. The empty tomb brings assurance, but the resurrection brings life. On the Sunday that we celebrate the resurrection together, it is good to look back to the cross, and it's good to look back to the tomb. We bow at the foot of the cross, and we remember the shedding of our Lord's blood when we partake of the Lord's Supper. We should go there often in worship, in humbleness, forever thankful. But the Lord also wants us to go forth, living a life of the victory that He has given. And this life is a result of the cross and the resurrection. The resurrection is what assures life. By life, I mean the life we now live in service and glory to God. But more importantly, I mean the life that we will have for all of eternity with God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Bible does not tell us that when Jesus appeared to them after the resurrection, that they hugged His neck and comforted Him and were mournful for the events and the things that had happened to Him. No, that's not what they did. Jesus wouldn't allow any of that. His emphasis was to give them time to soak in the events in faith and then to move forward, then to live a life for Him. Matthew 28:18 tells us, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Lo, I am with you means to see and to understand. See and understand that I am with you always, even until the end of the age. As just ambassadors here, we should be the representative of God on this earth to point people to the cross and the resurrection and live in such a way as we do this. In Acts, we see the story of the resurrection. It brings us victory. The Bible tells us that we have been given victory through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we celebrate this morning. That's what we live this morning. It's why each day a Christian can live in joy and we can live with gladness in our hearts no matter what is going on around us, no matter what has happened to us. And that seems impossible sometimes, for there are some devastating things that happen to us that happens to us on this earth. But we're assured because of this joy and this promise of the resurrection that we have a joy that we look forward to and a happiness that we can live because of that. Amen. That is what victory is. It is slicing through everything that seems to be impossible, but God can do this. It's the message, this gospel that the apostles preached when they came back and the Lord ascended and they went back and the angel said, "Why are you standing gazing up into heaven? Don't be standing here. He's giving you commands to do. You have the victory. You have the joy. Now go do it." And they did it. And the apostles preached the cross and the resurrection in the temple. And that's why they wanted to shut them down so much. It was this message that was so powerful to people, that they could come out from under the law, that Jesus was the completion and the fulfillment of the law. It was something so entirely indescribable and unbelievable. But when people realized it was true, they were drawn to it like a magnet. They had to have it because it is the power of life unto us. It is the resurrection through Christ Jesus. Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 says, "I have declared to you this gospel. I have preached it unto you." And some of the Corinthians and others were letting false things come into the church. And Paul said, "No, this is the gospel I have preached to you, that Christ Jesus died for your sins according to the Scripture, that He was buried and raised the third day according to the Scripture." Don't let that tail off on the end. It is the highlight. "And He was raised the third day according to the Scripture." Amen. That's why we're here. If it were just the cross, that would be a nice thing that God did. But if it weren't for the resurrection, none of you would be here, because there would be no hope. There would be no life. That's why you come sit on a hard pew and listen to me every Sunday morning. It's not because of that. I know that. It's because of the message. I understand that. To receive it is to accept the message and acknowledge its truth. That's what you live your life for. To stand on it, Paul said, means to be immovable in it. That nothing can move you off of your faith and off of that stance. We as evangelical Christians see the victory of the resurrection as offered to the entire world. Okay? But only those that accept His truth and stand on it reap its benefits. Think of this. Because of Jesus' death and resurrection, we have God's undeserved favor toward us. That is what grace is. Undeserved favor toward us and given to you. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Our standing in grace is not of ourselves. It's through Jesus. It's through the cross. If I had to stand before the judge, the Lord Jesus, and give an account of myself and rely on that to me to get into God's heaven, I would come up way, way short. Way, way short. Nothing I've done or could have done would be enough for that, to get into God's heaven. But He's simply holy. My best falls way short of God's holiness. But my reliance and my faith in Jesus does not fall way short. It is what I stand on. It is what I trust in. And because of the resurrection, it is my assured hope of knowing one day of what's going to happen to me. Romans 6:5 tells us, "For we've been united together in the likeness of His death. Certainly also we shall be in the likeness of His resurrection." Ephesians 2:6 says, "And He raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." You know what that means? It means that I don't have to prove that I'm worthy to God. It means that God is my friend, the Bible says. The door of access is permanently open through the Lord Jesus Christ. It means I'm free from a score sheet and the account is settled in Jesus. God's not keeping a sheet on you of the good and bad things you do. He's not mad at you when you sin. He's brokenhearted and He's disappointed. He's not a mad Father in heaven that's mad at you. It means now because of that because I have that peace with God, I can spend my time praising God and less time hating myself and what I do. God wants you to do that. He wants you to not let Satan come in and put all those doubtful things in your mind. He wants your time to be spent in joy and happiness in Him, being able to praise Him. That's what the resurrection's all about. We talked about this morning when the women came to the tomb and it said that they were mournful and weeping and all the others. But after they saw that tomb, and it wasn't too long, especially after His resurrection and the ascension, there was joy and happiness. It's kind of like the Joker on the Batman, that not the bad ones, but the ones you used to see. They couldn't wipe the smile off their face, you know? John 1:4-19 tells us we love Him because He first loved us. Every true follower of Christ must be able to say in their heart that they love Him. It's a true indication of a saved person. If you can't say honestly before God that you love the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the seal of the Holy Spirit in your life, that you love Him. Why? Because He first loved you. We should never be embarrassed or afraid to say that out loud. Never. Jesus said, "If you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father, which is in heaven." This is certainly a day that we need to be bold and we need to speak out. It's certainly a day that we need to stand up and say, "Yes, I know you can't understand it, world, because the world can't. Yes, I know you think it is foolishness in what I believe. Yes, I know you look at me and you say I'm one of those backwoods, backslidden, ignorant people that believes in falsehoods in the Bible." This is a day that Christ says, "I need you to stand up for me boldly and say, yes, I believe that this man, the Son of God, died and was raised again the third day, and He is alive today at the right hand of the Father in heaven, and He is my advocate. Yes, I believe that, no matter, world, what you think of me." God is asking us to be bold and to stand for Him. And that's why if people ask you about the resurrection, tell them. You can't hold it back. We are made worthy of God's love because of Jesus and His resurrection. The resurrected Christ is also our open door. He said, "I'm the door. If anyone enter by me, he will be saved and will go in, out, and find pasture. I'm the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and what? And I'm known by my own." Jesus says He knows you individually if you're His. He watches you, sees you, cares for you. The Bible says, and I talked about this not long ago, this is one wonderful thing. He knows when you sit down and when you get up. He knows when you lie down and when you get up. He loves you that much. He's that interested in you and your life. He's watching you that much. Did you get that? Did you get what it said up here in Colossians 2:1-4? It says he erased a certificate of debt. Debt. Did you know you had a certificate of debt before God? Did you know that you were an enemy of God? You had a debt that could not be paid, and that debt was death that was passed upon you and me. And our death couldn't pay the debt. So what was going to happen? Hell, it's what the Bible said. But it says that he erased the certificate of debt with its obligations. There was an obligation, just like our laws say that you must pay the penalty for breaking our laws. That was against you and opposed to us, and guess what he did? It says he's taken it and he's nailed it to the cross. In other words, that certificate of debt has been canceled, y'all. It's gone. It's when the judge takes it and says you've paid your debt and you sign it and you're gone. You're free. You're out. That's what it means. That's a wonderful thing for us. The erased certificate of debt. And who is there that can make a new one against you before God? No one. No one. Satan tries to. You were justified once, never over and over again. One time is all it takes. Your standing before God means in a continual state. The resurrection of Christ has made all of this possible. Because of this, our lives should be spent praising Him. I'm going to finish with this, and we're going to have the Lord's Supper. We had the service this morning out there. And many churches do. And the cemetery, which looks good this morning, the cemetery is in the background behind my shoulder. And I hope that y'all thought about that, the implications. That doesn't hold us. There's no one out there that belongs to Christ that's out there right now. It's just the old bodies. Isn't that wonderful? Let's read what the Bible says. Death is swallowed up in what? In victory. O death, where is your sting? O hell, where is your victory? It's not there. We have the victory. You walk around with the victory. You want to put something on you? Don't mark yourself. But if you want to put something on you, get you a V and put there. Let people ask you what that stands for. Victory. What do you mean victory? Your team win? Yeah, my team won all right. Because captain's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I have the victory. I was a Saints fan a long time ago. I ain't going to go there. The guys out at the plant, you can ask them, they all gave up on it, but I didn't. And when they won that one Super Bowl, was I excited? Yes. But I went through a lot. But that's menial. We have the victory in Christ Jesus. He is our team. When Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper that we're fixing to take before going to the cross, he gave us a new covenant in his blood. The two blood covenants, the Old Testament, the blood of sheep and goats, it could not permanently forgive you, but the new blood covenant, which does, washed in the blood of the Lamb, forgiven completely, he gave us that new covenant. And what did he say? As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. To remember what he did for us, the resurrection, what he did today. We are to remember his sacrifice and what it does for us, and also look in a forward way at what the resurrection has done. The Lord wants us to be in agreement with Him. That's what it means to partake of this. When you partake in the Lord's Supper, it is very serious because, like Mr. Gene said a while ago, you need to search your heart before you partake of it. It means that when you partake of it, I'm agreeing with you, Lord Jesus, and all that you've done for me. I belong to you. I'm partaking of the example of what it means that you did, to ingest it, to be fulfilled with it. That's what it means. The Lord wants us to be in agreement. That is what partaking is. And finally, we're to live in victory and freedom of joy and belonging to God through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what you're saying when you take of the bread and the cup. I believe and want to live through the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we take it, reflect on what it means and let it bring glory to God on this Resurrection Sunday as we think and remember and glorify Him for what he's done for us. Isn't it a joy to be able to So if the deacons would come forward, please, as we do this.